Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello and welcome to Zero Pucks Given, the UK ice hockey podcast. We are in partnership with the Hockey Art Co, hockey clothing for hockey people, worn by the best and hated by the rest. Listeners to Zero Pucks Given get a 10% discount off everything site-wide at hockeyartclothing.co.uk. So head to their website and check out all of the stock there and then get your little discount when you check out. We are also part of the Sports Social Podcasting Network. Absolutely delighted to be part of this network. Really is pushing the podcast out to as many people as possible and growing the interest in ice hockey in the UK as well. You can find all of the details about Zero Pucks Given on the landing page on the Sports Social Podcast Network website. And obviously, of course, follow us on all the socials and you won't miss anything there. Welcome back. This is episode 75. I'm Ben and we've got a little bit of news to start with that came out about a week late. After Chelmsford Chieftains' victory at Oxford City Stars last week, Cameron Bartlett netted his 500th point for the Chieftains. Absolutely incredible achievement and a huge congratulations to Cam for achieving 500 points. How many more will he add to that? He certainly added two more at the very least, I think possibly even four more this weekend just gone in the 17-2 victory over Milton Keynes. The other bit of news that I just wanted to also go through, obviously I had my opinion and we said our little piece about the DOP sort of outcome, but we didn't run through all of the bans. Now, I think some of these are being appealed, so they may well change as we go through the future. We'll start with the Streatham Redhawks, and Brandon Miles received four games for fighting at the end of a period. JJ Pitchley also received four games for fighting at the end of a period. Josh Martin received 20 games for a check from behind with force causing injury. Nate Gregory received a total of 12 games, four games for fighting at the end of a period, four games for fighting a downed opponent, and four games for returning to become involved in an altercation. Josh Ely Newman also got four games for fighting at the end of the period, but breached the 10 penalty points, so gets two extra games and is banned for a total of six. For Invicta then, Matty Bell also received four games for fighting at the end of a period. Brandon Chard also received four games for fighting at the end of a period. They are both being appealed. Harrison Lillis received four games for fighting at the end of a period, but gone past the 10 penalty points, so gets a two extra games, so a six game total. And Josh Condren, now been released by the Invicta Dynamos, received 12 games for slashing an opponent with violence after the end of the period. There was also a bench penalty to Streatham to Stan Ratcliffe, four games for failure to control the team. So those are your DOPS bans. As I said, some of them may change because appeals are taking place There's a lot of sort of stuff doing the rounds, extra videos and stuff that people haven't seen of perhaps people that were involved that haven't received any punishment. I would imagine that England Ice Hockey are probably going to be reviewing all the footage that's available to them. But like I said, in the last episode, the ones that have been given out big bans, I think we need to see the videos that they've seen and need to hear their explanation for it as well. Just because the issues we've had with DOPS, that obviously going back to the Darcy Flanagan incident, we spoke to Darcy about it, we spoke to Joe Llewellyn about it as well. Nikki over at 4000 Counting did a fantastic job with Shane Moore, kind of shining a light on everything that DOPS was doing wrong. So this was a real opportunity, I think, for them to actually put it all out there and get it right, try and get some people involved that really do understand the sport, and they could have got it right. Unfortunately, I think it's just sort of blown up in their face again. But we will see. We will see what the full outcomes are. So this special episode then, this one is for you Oxford City Stars fans. Of course, this chap did have a little spell at Chelmsford Chieftains as well, and a little bit in Milton Keynes, but this is mainly for everybody that is Oxford, because there is no man more Oxford than Darren Elliott.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Zero Pucks Given in partnership with the Hockey Art Co. and on the Sports Social Podcast Network. We are very, very happy to present Darren Elliott. How are you doing this evening, fella?
I'm good, thank you. How are you? You good?
I am really well, mate, really well. Absolutely buzzing after a weekend's hockey that I thoroughly enjoyed as a Chelmsford fan. It was probably not so enjoyable for you guys in Oxford. You had a bit of a tough game at home to Slough on Sunday night, a 9-1 defeat. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Well, I can tell you a little bit, but I can't tell you a lot, because I actually wasn't there. So it's,
oh, was
no,
weekend
so
off.
Obviously, with my the sort of the deal that I've got, like a lot, all the junior, my role within the junior club is that, you know, juniors comes first, anything to do with the junior club, and that is my full commitment, and I kind of help out with the Stars as and when I can. And unfortunately this weekend I wasn't available, so, which is a bit of a shame. So I'd like to try and chase a load of those young guns around the ice. They're a good team. And I know the boys had a tough night in Oxford, but I think any team that plays Slough this year is going to have a tough night. I mean, they're a very, very well-drilled, young, enthusiastic squad, and they're obviously being run by Smittle at the head of it all. I mean, they're never going to be a walkover. They're always going to be sort of a team to go against, you know what I mean? So
yeah, they've had a roster that's been together for quite a few years now as well, so they've all probably know each other inside out. And
exactly. Yeah, I think it's, if any club could choose a path to go down, it'd be exactly the one that Slough have done and built over the last few seasons. So, I mean, yeah, he's doing great things there all the way through the ages, the age groups. So, yeah, it's a good setup.
Oh, yeah. So you don't see many players in the NHL 1 on a two-way with a junior club, and and they take the most of your time. So how did your juniors get on this weekend?
Yeah, not too bad. The 16s and 18s had, the 16s played Bristol. They won 5-1. They're unbeaten so far this year. They're doing really, really well. They're being run by Dean Burrell. And the 18s, they took a bit of a defeat to Invicta, 9-1, which is a lot of our 18s squad is made up from our 16s as well. And they played literally before the 18s did. So a lot of the squad were quite tired, obviously back-to-back games on the same night. They were 2-1 up going into the second. And then I think Invicta sort of turned on the burners a bit and banged 8 goals in the second, that kind of sort of buried them, which is a bit of a shame. But you know, it's a work in progress, and yeah, they had a decent weekend. So, but yeah, it's all good.
Yeah, well, in British hockey, the L word is not thrown around lightly. But over 430 games for the Stars, you are considered an Oxford City Stars legend. had a few years out, and then as you said, this year's sort of come back to sort of help the lads out, because it was, despite the fact that there seems to be a really good roster that's been put there together, that Simon Anderson at the start of the season and now Shannon Taylor's taking on with him. And a lot of people, including myself, actually predicted they'd do quite well, probably even head to the top four. But obviously you come back in because it wasn't really happening. Were you, was that one of the reasons that you went back in, to try and sort of galvanise it from the inside out?
A little bit. I mean, don't get me wrong. Like, I'm heavily involved in Oxford, and I always have been, and I always will be as long as I can. I've worked with Simon before. I've played with Simon, and he's a great coach. I don't know anyone that's more dedicated to the game, like on and off the ice, as he is. He puts so much time and effort in. If he's not in a rink where he's coaching, he's out looking at other teams and players. We spoke a bit in the summer, and I was like, listen, like, my days are done. I'm coaching. Like, I'm loving the junior thing right now. But then as the time went on, like, every now and again, I'd help out on the bench. Like at most players, like, you get the little niggle in you that it's like, oh man, can I still do this? And got the opportunity and stuff. And then it wasn't going the way that I think they thought it was going to go. And Simon mentioned it a couple of times, and I like brushed it under the carpet, sort of leave it where it is. And then it just got to a point where I think Simon was in a bit of a situation, and I could see it sort of eating him away a bit. And, he's as much a friend away from hockey as he is in hockey. And it was like, listen, if there's anything I can do to help, then why not? And I spoke to the family and looked at what I could commit to and what I couldn't. And thankfully they let me sort of go back and sort of say to Simon, yeah, let's give it a whirl. And I wasn't like, I was never a light it up player. I just give 110% every shift. And I was always saw myself as a bit of a leader in the room. And he just said, listen, you know, something's not clicking. Maybe it's the room or whatever. And I just come back in, just thought I could help out in that respect. And just see where it went. And first game back, it went okay. We lost 3-2 to Solent in overtime. It went all right for me personally, 1G and 1A, an apple and a goal. And I thought, you know what, this is all right. And he played me in a position that I'd never really played in before, in centre. And I think being away from the game with the coaching and all that, you see the game a lot different. And I think that helped me sort of coming back as well. I played the game completely different to what I used to. And I haven't been able to play that many games. But, you know, it's a funny one. Like you said, they've got a good roster. And one man coming in is not going to change any team. But we've had good spells, we've had bad spells, and the results haven't gone our way. And, you know, but it just, yeah, it's tough. And I think Simon had a tough gig for the time that he was there. And I think enough was enough. And I think it was time for him to go when he did. I spoke to Shane and I spoke to Shannon, and we were all sort of talking and racking our brains. And Shannon got the go ahead, and he seems to have the room, and he's playing maybe a bit more of an offensive style of hockey. He's getting more shots on the board. We've been averaging more goals a game, and things are starting to click. And with anything, he's made a few changes. So it's not just changing the style of play since he's taken over, he's changed the squad. So he's kind of like, he's got a big job in there at the moment. And I think he's just, now it's about damage limitation, make the best out of a bad situation. And to be honest, probably building now towards the back end of this year, ready for next year. It's tough. I mean, there's, like you said, in the summer, I can remember you guys talking about it. And I can remember you put a thing out there about who we think is going to compete and what the Stars' main advantages were. They're like the better parts of their squad, and everyone was saying the defense, and like, they had a solid defensive lineup, and they've got some good forwards. I mean, the imports they've got, like, they're good players, but for some reason it's mad. Maybe it was just too much of a mix up this year, but I don't know. Maybe they just need a bit longer than a season to sort of get some connection going. But it is what it is. It's hockey. And you know, the new coaches come and go, players come and go, and you always have to adapt and stuff. And Shannon seems to be, he's got an agenda that he wants to work with, and the boys know that. And if he makes changes before the end of the month, like some clubs like will, then we'll have to wait and see. But I think Shannon's doing a good job. He's got a good mindset. He's got a good rapport with the guys. And I think if it's not now, then I think steadily on down the line, I think Shannon will do a good job.
He has mixed up slightly. Jan Koster will come in to bolster this sort of the attack in the lineup. And I have been told, because you know he's 43, that he does still look pretty good on the ice.
Yeah, it's mad. Like he's it's crazy. Like we're the same age, and he's like a lot bigger than me. He's a lot more built, and he's played at a lot higher level. He's got a wealth of hockey knowledge and experience. And again, I think what he may lack in his game now to what he did when he was in his prime, I think, be it just having someone of that caliber in the room, especially if he just, like Shannon's saying about hopefully going to maybe like a bit of a younger squad, what he can bring to those players of a younger age will be massive. And you know, it'd be good to have him in there. It'll be a massive plus, but we'll see. He's still got the hockey IQ. He's got the head, he's got the brains. He knows what he's at. He knows the game inside out. And it's going to be much more of a plus than a negative to have him around, I think.
Yeah, it's why I can't get my head around it, because like the off-ice stuff for Oxford this year has been phenomenal. The social media is off the charts. The PR is fantastic. The way that Shane he's got so far ahead of the game. With everything controversial that's happened in hockey in the last 12 months, Shane's been at the forefront and he's jumped on it and he's got everything spot on. And you say having someone like Jan in the room, and as well as having someone like Petter in the room, how that cannot have a positive effect on these young athletes is... It must do. So then it's such a struggle to realise why it's not going so well.
Yeah, it is. It's, you know what? It's and I'm gonna bring up the junior club as well, obviously, because that's at the foundation of everything. But even within the junior setup, all the way from our 10s up to NIHL 1, like the social media, we've got so many more volunteers involved now. Like the social media thing is kicked off throughout all of our junior stuff. It's everywhere. And it's like the club's moving mountains. Like we're doing really, really well. But, you know, and like you can see with Slough wasn't built overnight. And I think maybe because clubs like Slough, like they've concentrated on this on-ice product for so long, now that it's really pushing through, people see it and they're like, oh, this is amazing. Mm. Whereas you look at Oxford, like, we haven't really had the on-ice product in like the junior setup and all of that for so long. The social media side's come in. All of a sudden, we're in front of everyone. Everyone's seeing it for what it is, like on screen and all of this sort of stuff. And maybe the expectation of the on-ice product is not where people think it should be for the social media side. But we are getting there. Like we're pushing, we're building on the ice all the way through juniors. And I think we will get there. We will get there, but like you say, I think it's just gone bang. It's hit hard, really, at such a level off the ice with like CCM, Carl Catlin, media and all of that. Like he's bang on it, and all the other stuff, the Facebook, the Twitter, all of it. It's going crazy, and it's great for the club. It's getting us a lot of exposure. We're getting contacts from like new players from everywhere. We're getting a lot more interest into the club. And it's making a massive difference, and it's good. It's amazing. And I think now we've just got to catch up with the on-ice product and get it where it really deserves to be.
Yeah. Do you think a lot of your juniors then they can see that clear path? They sort of think they're in the junior team and that's their aim to play for the City Stars.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a big believer. Like being a junior coach, and this might sound really a bit wrong, but for me as a coach, right now, I'm coaching players to be the best they can be. If they end up in the Stars, they end up in the Stars. But for me, I want kids to be the best they can be and play at the highest level that they can play, whether that be abroad or here in the UK. I'm just here to create the best players that I can make out of any individual. So that's from my point of view as a junior coach. That's what I want to do. But the fact that the pathway is there, it's good. And it's really positive for the kids to know that, you know what, we don't have to, let's get to under 16s and then we've got to think about moving clubs or, you know, because there's not anything there for us in the future. And that's where it's been in the past for Oxford, because we had an NIHL 2 team for a few seasons, but there was never like our A-teams. We've always been stuck in the B-leagues. You know, we don't get me wrong, we're still there, but we're producing players now, and we've never had a massive impact at conference and things like that. And we've got players starting to go to England trials and conference, and where they're going to the draft showcase, and oh, they're having the opportunities are going to come. So, yeah, the pathway's there. We're still trying to figure it out as a club, how it can work best. And I think, I know everyone says, oh, next year, but I think next year will be a massive, massive year for Oxford, especially with the Division Two team as well. I mean, our Learn to Play, we've relaunched our Learn to Play a few months back. That's sold out now. Like, we're fully booked. I mean, on the last Thursday, we literally I had a count up, and I went down and done an assessment, and I'm like, hold on a minute, like, we've got that many on Learn to Play, but you only ever look at them as players. And then I start looking around, and I'm like, we've got a massive influx of girls here.
Mm.
Now I'm even looking, I might even put like a development junior girls team together, because we've got that many players, or that many people becoming interested in it in Oxford, that like we're starting to oversubscribe in a way. We're having to look at like ways that we can like push forward, and maybe like having a girls team, that like, not saying we want to put a girls team together and they don't play for the mixed teams as well at junior level, but it just gives another element for us to build on. And then that gives us, if we do that, that also gives us a pathway from Learn to Play all the way up to our top girls team, as yeah. well as up in the normal club. Do you know what I mean? There's so much going on, and it's so busy, and I think it's moving at such a rate that, like you said, the social media is going mad, and everyone can see where we're going on that front, that it's not going to be long, and the on-ice product is going to catch up, and we're I think we're going to be pretty big in the coming years. It's definitely a club that's growing constantly, like every day.
Yeah, the top female club there, the Oxford Midnight Stars, I was told by George from the Cambridge Kodiaks, they've got their name because that was their training slot at midnight.
Yeah, it's mad. There's the thing is with that, ice time's scarce at any rink in the UK.
Yeah,
but Oxford's always struggled. I think there's only a few seasons where we ever had like a two day a week training slot, even for the Stars. And like, yeah, I can remember going down skating on a Friday night when I was a lad, and like you'd be getting off the session at 10:30, and then there's girls and like other clubs rolling in to like be training at midnight. And when I was young, many, many moons ago, but like there's teams there training till like 3-4 in the morning, because it's the only ice time they could get. It was crazy. But yeah, that is correct. The midnights have got that name purely because of the time slot. So
do you think with the Oxpens then, in addition to perhaps getting some plexi, that getting a two training sessions for the Stars is going to be sort of imperative in them moving forward?
I think it's imperative for any senior team at this level. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what other training. I know Chelmsford train twice a week, and they always have done. But I think at any level, the more you're on the more you're on the ice or on a pitch or whatever it may be, learning your teammates, learning your team, being around each other more, it has to help. And like I said, like this team is so new, and there's people have come. It's basically a rebuilt squad this year. To be on the ice once a week and then go and have two games on a weekend sometimes, like the frustration and like over, like completely overpowers the connection of the boys. And I think that's probably played a massive part this season with having so many new faces put into one squad, and having such high expectation early on. And like you said, with everything around it, it's so professional. The boys come in, it's almost like you expect it to work, without thinking, do you know what, it's down to us to make it work. We've got all of this around us, but we don't want for much, you know. And yeah, it just, for some reason, it hasn't clicked, or they haven't clicked, and it hasn't worked. But you know, you can only see what happens now. Shannon's making changes, and it's in his hands now, but I'm sure he'll do a good job. He just needs a bit of time to build the team that he wants and he wants to work with and have around him.
Well, looking back then, as you said, you know, going down to the Oxpens and skating on a Friday night and seeing people training, what got you started in playing ice hockey?
So me and my dad, we used to always go and watch Speedway, because that was like a 10-minute drive from our house. And that was like our main interest on a Thursday night. My dad used to drive taxis, and his mechanic that used to work, like, sort his car out all the time. He used to go and watch ice hockey, and he said to my dad, he's like, oh, you know, like, why don't you just pop down, watch something a bit different? And my dad went down, watched a game for the Stars back in 1990, I think. And then he took me along, watched the Stars game, and then we went and watched the junior game, and that was it. And I can remember, I think I'd literally gone ice skating with my school that week, and I'd the first time I ever stepped foot on the ice, and one of my schoolmates skated over my finger, and my mum was like, "You are not going in an ice skate again." And and that was it. And then I watched the junior game, and I was hooked, and it was just my second home, really. And then, like, literally, I started playing in 1990. My dad started working at the rink in 91. And that was it. Our life was just Oxford Ice Rink, Oxpens Road. And then, obviously, he passed away, like, a while back. And it's, still my home. And it will be for a long, long time, I think. So,
yeah, you find that a lot in this sport. There's a really deep family legacy amongst a lot of players, particularly with their home rink.
Yeah.
And that's one of the great things about this sport, where people from the outside might just look at it and think it's all thuggery and this, you know, that side of it, but they don't really see the other side.
No, and I think it goes beyond that. I think hockey is like it's very cliche to say family, like, but it's almost a family of every rink is part of the same family. Like, players move around in hockey like it's ridiculous. Like, people, when I used to travel to Chelmsford twice a week to train in the week, and then you have two games on a weekend, people used to go, "What? You travel all that way for an hour's training session, and then you go and play two games on a weekend?" But like, it's unheard of in any other sport.
Yeah.
But people travel around, you make such good connections and friends, and, you know, I feel like there's players from other clubs that I've played with, but if I had an issue, I know I could pick up the phone and just have a chat off the cuff, then be there for each other, you know. And like you say, everyone just watches these videos that the Dops and that put on, and, like, you see all things like people battering each other week in, week out. But off the ice, behind the scenes, like, these people are talking, like, they get on. It's, you know, it is what it is. It's a sport at the end of the day, and, you know, we're not making millions to play it. We do it because we love it, but off the ice, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, that thing with players moving between clubs, and obviously that, I think it was 2010-11, you had a period with Chelmsford.
Yeah.
Coming from Oxford, that the minute you would have arrived in Chelmsford, you'd have been Chelmsford, and they wouldn't have seen you any other way.
No, it was unbelievable. That was a great year. So, very memorable for me, because it's going to a team like that, like you say, you get made very welcome, and I never forget, we made the playoff final, and then literally in the first leg of the final, I tore my Achilles. I was like, "You are kidding." And I was like, "No way." Like, the first time I ever made a playoff final in my career, and I tore my Achilles, and we played Romford away, and I was like, "I'm not missing this." I suited up, like, popped a load of painkillers, and I suited up, and I was just stood on the bench, and I got JJ McGrath just grilling me off the bench. "You had part of this," and he's just giving it to me, and I was like, it was mad. Such a good club. Chelmsford's a great place. Really, really well run organisation. Got a lot of friends on that team, the Bartletts, Pentecost, you know, Dow, he's a great guy. And the CS, it's a good organisation. And I'm, proud to say I was part of it for a small time.
Yeah, I say, I believe in players that we've had here that have then gone elsewhere. There's almost like there's no hate that goes anywhere. I mean, we had our captain last year, Callum Burnett, has gone to Streatham.
Yeah.
They've accepted him as one of theirs. We still welcome him when he comes back. It's a brilliant sport like that, as you say, because with the hockey sort of family of the people involved in it, it spreads to how the sport is for families. And I think you see that at every rink, that it's all about go with your family to watch.
Yeah. So I always say to people, like, I don't know if you saw on my Facebook, we had an area in Oxford flooded over the last couple of weeks, and I took my boy down. It's his dream to skate outside. So we went down. We were like down there at, I think it was like 6:45 on Sunday morning. And when the sun come up, we were all out there skating. There was this family out, and they literally just stood there watching us. And you could see the young lad, and he was like, "This is amazing." And I just said to him, I said, "Listen, like, do you like what you see?" And he was like, "Yeah, yeah." I said, "Get yourself off down to Oxpens Road." I said, "Bring the family." I said, "You'll watch it once, and you'll come again without a doubt. It's just so fast. It's so enjoyable to watch." And like, I think it's people that haven't seen it live to come along, like, family. It's a family sport. There is rough and tumble and all of that, and handbags thrown around, but it is a very, very exciting family sport to watch.
If that's all right with you, that picture I'll put up in the middle of this video there so people can see what we're going on about. Because I did comment on it when I saw it in your Instagram, but I actually thought you'd gone to the Fens. I didn't realise that was in Oxford.
That was in Oxford. Literally, there's a place down, it's called Jericho. And at one end of Oxford, sort of right in the city centre of Oxford, you've got Jericho. And it goes down to the river. But at the other end of Oxford, you've got Port Wolvercote. And between them is a big area of land called Port Meadow, and it always floods. And every year, like, we all say, like, we just need the temperature to drop. Because it's only ever a foot deep.
Mm.
But, and like, it's just unreal. Like, you can literally skate for probably 3/4 of a mile.
Wow.
And yeah, it's insane. It's insane. Like, you had on the weekend, there was like all the university play, like, guys are down there from the university teams. And everyone, you see like figure skaters out there, there's people just, and there's loads of other people just sat on the grass just watching you just like play hockey outside. It's insane. It's really, really cool.
Yeah, cause really. I mean, I was always thought the only one was in the Cambridgeshire Fens. I remember when Pence was on Zero Pucks Given, he told me about this farmer floods his field on purpose when it's going to get cold enough. And
wow.
And Pence said, I can't remember who he was playing for at the time, might have been Haringey, and they'd got to the rink. And none of the rink plant was working, so they couldn't play. So they all jumped in the car, drove like an hour and a half up to outside Peterborough, and all played shinny on this frozen field.
Oh, that's insane. Well, it's funny because I know there's an area in Bracknell where they've done it a couple of years ago, and there's all the reeds coming up around the edge, around the side, people skating around. But there's a lot of new build houses everywhere at the moment, and they seem to have like these little flood areas.
Yeah.
And there's a couple over there in Didcot in Oxfordshire. And some of my juniors, they were saying that these little flood pools, they're ideal because they're sort of built up around the edges and it is literally like a little rink. Excuse me. And there's a couple of the kids, they went out on one of those little flood pools as well. And that was all frozen over and they're skating around there. So hopefully there'll be a few more areas that we can sort of all jump on, in winter and stuff. But it is great fun. Like this morning I was bang on WhatsApp on all the age groups giving it, right, guys, anyone that skated outside at the weekend, get your skates ground because your blades will be battered.
Yeah.
Yeah, guys, it kills your blades. I'm like, do not turn up to training on Wednesday.
The dull blades.
Not being able to stand up. Yeah, like, make sure you get your skates sharpened before training. So.
It'd be about time that Britain could give the Canadians something to be jealous of with ODRs.
Yeah, exactly.
And when I had Damon Porter on, who's at Chelmsford, he's from Calgary, and literally his back garden is a lake in between a mountain range. And God, the pitch is incredible.
Yeah. I've never been over to Canada or the States, and it's still my dream to go. Like, just insane. What they have out there is just unbelievable. So.
Yeah, it's no wonder they're as good at the sports they are, really, when they've got all of that. Have you ever done anything out in Europe at all?
Nah, nothing. I've never, ever. I've been on a couple of, like, when I retired from playing, before I came back, like, I went and done a few, like, rec tournaments and stuff. But you get sold this rec tournament, and then you turn up, and there's, like, loads of ex-pros. I can't remember where. We went to Prague for one not long ago. And the guy that I used to play at Chelmsford with from Oxford, Alan Green, we went out together. And we get there and we're playing this team and we're like, this goalie is lights out. And we come off and afterwards we find out that he's the emergency backup for Carolina Hurricanes. And we're just like, yeah, no wonder, he was pretty legit. So, but yeah, you meet some good people and some great, great ex-hockey players. But, I mean, rec hockey is just completely different now. It's not rec hockey. It's all older guys that used to play the game that haven't got the commitment time now and still want to have a little whack around and stuff like that. So
yeah, there does seem to be different levels of rec hockey going on.
Yeah.
I know particularly in Chelmsford, you sort of got the Mischiefs and the Chargers that are fairly good, and then you've got the Reapers, which will take sort of anyone. They have offered me, and I need to find the time. I think it's 10:30 on a Friday night. Because I used to play a bit of field hockey, a bit of roller hockey. I've never actually played ice hockey. I could never afford it as a kid.
But you can't do this and not have a go.
No, I've got to have a go. The problem is I've got no cruciate ligaments in my right knee.
Oh,
so stopping is like a big problem for me.
Yeah,
with many ailments I've got from playing sport over the years, but I have to give it a go. If anything else, it would make an incredibly entertaining YouTube video.
Yeah, exactly.
Of me probably falling flat on my ass.
Yeah.
Well, have you got, I was trying to see if anyone's actually asked this question so I could credit them without taking it for myself. Tristan Scully has asked, what's your favourite and least favourite moment in hockey?
Oh, flipping heck. Oh. Well, my least favourite is probably got to be when I've done my...
Your Achilles.
When I've done my Achilles, yeah, that was bad. Like, I've had a few injuries, but least favourite is when I've done my Achilles and not being able to play in that final game. My favourite, man. There's loads, really, and I think probably if you asked any hockey player, they'd probably say there's a lot. It's hard to choose one, but this is mad. I probably couldn't tell you, but there's so many. But I think, it sounds crazy, but one of my favourite moments of playing was probably my last game. It was my last game for the Stars, went out on a hat trick, and realising the support that you've built up over the years, but when you see how many people turn up, or even my testimonial game, like seeing what people were, like the amount of people that came to the rink to watch, and the level of people that messaged me asking to be a part of that game. You know, like I played against Jeremy Cornish, who absolutely hated my guts on the ice, like couldn't stand me. And then I speak to the guy and he's like, mate, I'd love to, you know, I've spent so many games playing against you and whacking you and stuff, it'd be good to come and share the game with you and sort of wish you all the best. So yeah, there's been many, but I think I'd say my last game and my testimonial game, just to, because it kind of hits you once you don't realize what you've done until the end, sort of thing.
Yeah.
Amount of people that supported me over the time and stuff like that is quite surprising, and there's like the respect that you sort of earn over the years is pretty amazing. So
to kind of make all that traveling and the late night training worth it.
Yeah, exactly that. So yeah, it was good. It's good. There's a lot of memories, and I think that's one of the biggest selling points with this sport. Like, it's, you make so many friends, you visit so many places, and you have so many opportunities, and you will make the most amazing memories. And like, even now, my boy playing the game, I'm like, mate, this, you have no idea what you're going to achieve in this sport. There's so much. And so, yeah, so it's hard to pick one, but I think, yeah, those two I could really sort of go with, I think.
Yeah. Oh, a couple here from ads. Standard ads 12 on Instagram. I know there's probably a teammate of yours. Do you remember our away game fancy dress and bumping into Richard Hammond?
Mate, this is... So we're on I knew ads would be one of the people to bring something up. Oh man, we've got so many stories, me and ads. And but yeah, we were on a, I can't even remember where it was on the way from. And we'd gone like shorts and vest and hockey helmets was like the dress code. And we're like, as you are, you're all pretty tanked up on the way home. And with me and ads are in the service station, just like two rhinos running and just like butting heads. And all of a sudden, Richard Hammond walks in between us, and we're just like, no way. So I've got the picture. I'll have to send it to you. Like, yeah, it's unbelievable. And there's like me and Ad, so like linking arms with Richard Hammond in the middle, and the look on his face of disgust. Yeah, he's not happy. It's not happy. But yeah, I remember that very, very well. Great, great, great travel back.
But he's also asked, has your cream leather sofa still got Andrew's 12 imprinted on it? Hashtag marker pen.
Mate, he's really putting me in a funny situation. Mate, yeah, we had some good times, me and Ads. But no, that sofa's long gone. Long gone.
Well, there's a couple on here that are asking about the Oxford happening this season, and we've covered that quite extensively. But Rodders, who is becoming one of my favourite listeners for giving in questions, he always gives a good one, asks, do you ever think you'll ever be as good as Paul O'Neill?
Come on, Rodders. Nah, Paul O'Neill's too good. Too good. Way too good. Those guys. They're the guys that I went to Prague with and stuff like that and playing these rec tournaments.
Yeah.
So much fun. Great guys. Love Rodders. He's wicked. He's a good lad. Good lad. Good goalie too. Good netminder.
Yeah. And Ben Painter wants to know, who put 50p in him?
Oh my word, it's the first time I've done a podcast like this or anything like this. Like, these guys are cracking me up. Paints is another one. He's a beauty. He's a beauty. He put 50p in you.
I actually love it. As a Chelmsford fan, I'm supposed to hate Ben Painter. I can't help it. I love him.
Mate,
I think he's great.
Too good. Yeah. Yeah, he's a terrible hockey player, but a great guy. I'm only joking.
And I did tell him, actually, the last time I saw him, I don't think it was the last time I saw him face-to-face, actually, when I was down in Streatham. I think it was when he was at the playoffs at the end of last season. I said, he's actually a lot better looking than I thought he was.
He used to be even better. Yeah. He's the top lad Painter.
Yeah, that
it's
is...
Sort of like, really have like such sour banter with for so long before you end up smiling or having a laugh and you're just like, it's not going to work. We can't argue. It's not going to happen.
No, he's a top fella, and he's so generous with his time for the podcast. He always sends his coach's thoughts in.
Does he?
Yeah, okay. If I've forgotten to text him, he always texts me, reminding me. So he's
He's a good lad.
Yeah, he's a good lad, and the league is full of him. I think the Britain division, yeah. I think, is flying this year.
Yeah, yeah.
That's it was right. Something I asked Owen Ryder last week that you'd probably be able to know from being on the ice a few times this year. There's been quite a few players that have dropped from the National League down to the Britain division. I would imagine mainly through commitment because the travelling in the National division is just absolutely unbelievable. I think that's had a massive impact on the quality of the league, and it's drastically gone up. So I said to Owen, like, are you now noticing people, they're not shooting at you. They're actually picking a point in the goal because they've got that better level of ability. Have you noticed that when you've been on the ice, that you're surrounded by better players?
It's yeah, but do you know what, it's not even just the National League players dropping down. I think for someone that's been in the game a long time, but I haven't played at great levels, but you look at coaching and training and the levels of training that these kids get nowadays. But you look at Sebastian, like Seb Moore from Slough. Mate, the kid's legit.
Yeah, he's unbelievable.
So you turn your head right and you've got a National League player playing with you. You turn your head left and you've got Seb Moore that's coming out of juniors. He's flying at you. And like, the level of hockey is just getting better and better every year, I think. And I think a lot of it is to do with the level. Like, the coaching styles have changed a lot over the years and stuff like that. But I mean, for me, being back at Oxford, like, having players like Ben Neversout that played for a long, long time in the National, like, it'll be like, try this, and then all of a sudden, like, the puck lands on your stick and you haven't even, like, he's like, just skate this way. When I get the puck, just go, and you're just like, oh my word, like, and then bang, puck's on your stick, and yeah, it's good. And again, like saying about players coming up, young ones, for them to come up so early and have that level of experience dropping down is only going to make these players better as well.
Yeah.
So I think it's definitely had an impact from players coming down, but also with everything else that's going on in hockey and like coaching styles and the coaches that are involved in some of these teams now, bringing these young guys up, giving them opportunity to play at a high level so young is massive. And I think it is, like we said earlier, even next year will be amazing. I bet the Britain League will be massive next year. Even better.
Yeah, I think if it can keep hold of the likes of you know, the Moore brothers, Brindley Capps, Joe Smarlin. If, 50 points in 18 games.
Unbelievable.
16 years old. It's,
yeah.
What a lad as well.
I went to London, like, I went to Romford, played against Romford the other week. They pumped us, right? And I'm just like, this guy, we're going in the face-offs, and he's like, do you want me to go left-handed? Do you want me to do this? Do you want me to... And he's just calling me out.
He's terping you, is he?
Yeah, he's he's giving it to me. And then, like, I win a face-off, and I look at him, and he went, yeah, I didn't even try that time. I let you have. Like a 43-year-old man that's never even played centre, and I'm getting chirped by this young guy. It's not good. But they're good. They're good lads. Like, you just, you have a good hoot with them, and, you know, it's good. Like, it's a pleasure to be able to step back on the ice and play against some of these guys, to be fair.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think the thing is, as we said, with the social media, the way that it's publicised in the sport, there's, you know, it's not just me that does this. There's Anthony Russell banners on the wall, the guys at 4,000 are counting, pucking mad. There's the Macca's Talk Hockey Boys in the National League. It's getting the sport out there. The next step for me, especially for our level, is something Oxford were doing, which is streaming the games. Because I think that's going to make it grow even further. But I think it has to be singularly controlled.
Yeah.
Rather than the teams doing it themselves, I think it has to be like one portal.
Yeah, you almost need someone to come in and go, listen, we're going to do this for the league. We're going to supply each club with a setup that's going to work, and there's not going to be any breaks or anything like that.
Yeah.
And be like properly. And I think you're right. I think that will definitely make it jump to the next level.
Yeah. And then the next thing I think is going to be the guys and girls seniors making the Winter Olympics, and then I think you'll get another little burst.
Yeah, hopefully.
Do you follow the sport recreationally at all, whether like a local team or the NHL?
Not massively. My young lad's a massive Seattle Kraken fan. But as a kid, I used to like Colorado. But it's because as a kid, you always look for that player that you've got like a connection with. And I always, when I was like a lad, I used to love it because Joe Sakic and me share the same birthday. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to follow Colorado. But
yeah.
Not really. I kind of keep up to date with it more now because of my boy, and he's always coming down and going, Dad, look, have you seen this on Viaplay and all this? And he's coming up, and such and such has got this point. Did you see McDavid do this? And it's just like, oh my word. But he's got the time to follow it. I haven't.
They play so often, and it's so hard to keep up with it. Obviously, it's all late at night and whatnot. And for my sins, I'm a Leafs fan, so. I posted a picture yesterday with my daughter's Stanley Cup saying there's a Leafs fan. That's as close as I'm going to get.
Yeah, mate. It's like an ongoing joke to them, isn't it?
Yeah, it always has been. I kind of wish I went somewhere else and watched hockey first.
Yeah. But Matthews is doing all right, though.
I think he's an unbelievable player, but unless they start doing something, I think he might stay there for a little bit longer and he'll go back home to finish his career. I think back in... I think he'll end up back in Arizona.
Yeah, I've got a little soft spot for Arizona. I don't know why. I like them. I think they're got quite a cool kit as well, haven't they?
I was trying, my daughter by proxy, I'd always say that she should be Leafs, but she's never been stateside. But someone bought her a vintage Canucks jersey.
Oh, nice!
So now she's Canucks, and I'm just...
nice. my lad got given a proper, if I had time, I'd go and find it, a legit vintage NHL like team jacket. You remember the old shiny ones?
Oh, really? Like a varsity type thing?
Oh, yeah, but it's an old Oilers one.
Oh,
and
wow.
I'm like, oh my word, it is insane. And I'm just like, mate, could you imagine if that just had McDavid's signature on it? You'd probably be quids in. but you never know. Maybe one day I'll get it, but.
No, you never know. Well, you never know how much an Oxford City shirt with a 77 on and your signature might go for.
Nah, never, mate. Have you given them away?
Where'd 77 come from then? Why was that your pick?
So, it's weird.
Your birthday's 7-7, isn't it?
Yeah, my birthday's the 7th of the 7th. But there used to be a guy that played in Oxford called Derek Flint, and he was an import from Vancouver. And he come over and I watched him. And then as I got older, we become quite like, we really good mates when he was over here. And we still talk now. And he's been back home for probably, it's got to be best part of 10 years now. No, longer than that, a lot longer than that. But, you know, I was godfather to one of his boys, and he was godfather to my daughter. And, Yeah, and he played 77 when he was here. And the day that he sort of left, he handed it down to me, and I always wanted to play that number, but he had it. And then, yeah, and then he handed it down. So, yeah, the main reason is it's my birthday, but it was quite nice to sort of take that on when he sort of finished his time with Oxford and went back home. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's my wedding anniversary as well, 7th of July.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. Oh, I forget that now.
Yeah, from...
Yeah, now, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah, from 2007, we got married 7th of July 2007.
Oh, nice.
So that was, yeah, all the sevens. It seems like a bloody long time ago now.
Yeah, I bet, I bet. Yeah.
But no, so is there anything else outside of hockey then? I see the guitar in the background there. Are you musical?
Oh, bit of a country fan. I just...
Ain't all you hockey players?
Oh, man, massive. But do you know what? I grew up listening to, like, Johnny Cash and all that with my dad. He was a massive country fan. I've got all the Western like stuff. I've got all the Pistols upstairs, the buckles, the shirts, everything, the Stetsons of that. And sort of went off it and through a teenager and that. And then when you get a bit older, and it's massive now, and country music's huge now. So, yeah, I bought that with all the will in the world to learn. But then juniors, coaching, playing and working and stuff, it kind of takes too much time. But it's one day. But yeah, I love my country music. Used to be big into my fishing and that, and I don't do that anymore. Got into golf a bit through COVID. But apart from hockey, it's just work and hockey. That's it, man.
Yeah, no spare time for anything else.
No spare time.
Well, in that spirit, mate, I really do appreciate the time you've given us tonight. It's been a really, really good chat. Really enjoyed having you on the podcast.
No, I appreciate it, mate. It's always nice to touch base and do these things and sort of put the world to rights within the sport. So, but no, I really appreciate you asking me to come on and, yeah, hopefully speak to you soon.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one other thank you I just wanted to do was you took part in the Adam Johnson tribute poem video that we put out after Adam's tragic death. So I wanted to thank you for being part of that as well.
My pleasure. It's quite an amazing thing to sort of be, not amazing thing, but to be a part of that is quite nice. It's something that will stay with me forever. So yeah, it's tough times that was, but you know, hopefully we come out of it better in the sport and we move forward. So
yeah, absolutely. Darren Elliott, good luck for the rest of the season playing and thanks of course coaching the junior stars.
Yeah, thanks so much, mate. Take care.
Cheers, mate.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
A massive thank you to Darren for joining me on the podcast. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute of that. To lift the curtain, we stayed on for another sort of 20 minutes chatting afterwards. I think what a fantastic guy. Can't wait to actually meet him in person. That's the sort of thing I get a lot from doing this podcast, actually, that I speak to these guys and these girls over the Zoom link and whatnot, and we get down to some nitty gritty. And it's always a really good chat, and honestly, they're just some of the nicest people. I know, obviously, people sporting different clubs, you might have club rivalries and whatnot, but honestly, everyone that I've spoken to on the podcast is just really nice. So, yeah, thoroughly enjoyed it. I really hope you enjoyed that episode with Darren. So, yeah, I really do hope that you enjoy it. If you do enjoy it, of course, share it out, tag us, use the hashtag ZeroPucksGiven. Get it out on your social medias as well. It'll be shared out on all of ours with the links. It'll be on YouTube. It'll be on Apple Podcasts. It'll be on Spotify. And you can find it, of course, on the Sports Social Podcast landing page where you will find everything about Zero Pucks Given. Thank you again so much for listening. Make sure you share everything on the socials. Really have enjoyed this week's episode. Next week, we will, of course, have the roundup after the Cup semi-finals. And, of course, we have that Oxford versus Milton Keynes game in there as well. And then next week, we are joined by Mr. Solent himself. Alex Murray, the player coach of the Solent Devils, will be making his appearance on Zero Pucks Given. Of course, he already has been on a little bit when he was in the playoffs with the Solent Devils last year. So this is going to be the first time we're actually going to get to sit down and talk to Alex about Alex. So look forward to that one. Thank you for listening, and I'll see you next time.
Capital Podcast Network.